as we were recording the PW profile for the original Sheik, we had to constantly remind that he is not the Iron Sheik. Although people get them confused quite a bit, they were two separate characters. Iron Sheik, of course, a former WWF champion, a former WWF tag team champion. He helped kickstart Hulkamania by dropping the title to him. Unfortunately, he has passed away. The Iron Sheik, one of the last true villains from that era that was still alive. One of the last original WWF champions that was still alive. Passed away this week. You let me know when I was at a manager's meeting for my job, my 9-to-5.
I'm sorry.
Made me a little sad. But then I thought about it, and, you know, I've talked in length how I'll Wikipedia people, you know, when I'm in the bathroom or when I'm cooking. You know, I didn't really look up a whole lot about the Iron Sheik. But then the more that I did research, I realized I kind of knew the beats of his career. You'd know this. He actually won a gold medal in 1971 at the National AAU Championships for Greco-Roman wrestling. Like, the Iron Sheik was a legitimate badass.
But did he do it with a broken freaking neck?
No, he didn't.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
It was interesting. He's one of those that was trained by Vern Gagne in the AWA. Because he was a legitimate tough guy, and that's what Vern wanted. He was also in the Imperial Iranian Army. So, I mean, there's just levels to this man that really aren't discussed. People know about his championship reign, and they kind of know him as the funny guy at the end, kind of goes on rants. But, I mean, he had a long career. He made appearances in the WWF and Jim Crockett promotions early on. He would appear in Mid-South. And then his career really took a turn around 83 when he challenged the All-American boy, Bob Backlund, for the WWF championship. Before this, the Iron Sheik would usually do a Persian club challenge, which if you've seen the videos of him doing the workout routine in the ring, that's what he was doing. He'd have these clubs, and they were so heavy, you put them behind your back, and you'd do one after another. When he challenged Backlund, and he brought this in, he then attacked Bob Backlund as he was doing the third swing. This, injured Backlund's neck. And then on the day after Christmas, the Iron Sheik put Bob Backlund in the camel clutch, and then it was Bob Backlund's manager that threw the towel in for him, something that has been redone time and time again. And the Iron Sheik was the WWF champion. But of course, the big foreign menace was just a man to kind of be a bridge between Bob Backlund and Hulk Hogan. And it was after this that probably his most memorable match happened. He had a boot camp match with Sergeant Slaughter. But following this, I think most people, when they think of the Iron Sheik, they think of Sheik and Volkov.
Yeah.
The foreign team, Volkov singing, Iron Sheik, Iran number one, USSR number one, and then America, ha, and then spits on America. He's actually part of history at the first WrestleMania, as he and Nikolai won the tag team championship from the U.S. Express, Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo. Their manager, Classy Freddie Blassie, cheated, but still, they won. And with this being anti-American, these two received a chorus of boos. And it wasn't just America that they hated. If they were in Canada, they were facing a Canadian superstar, he let them know, and he'd spit on Canada, too.
Good. Another
funny bit.
All this fucking air quality that's going on.
Yeah.
They deserve it. Spit on Canada.
Another fun bit he did is when Gene Oakland would interview him, Iron Sheik would tell the cameraman, zoom in, cameraman. and then he'd flex so you could see how big his muscles were. He was such a popular guy at the time, whether it be for being a bad guy, or he appeared in Cyndi Lauper's music video "The Goonies Are Good Enough," and he is also a character on Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling Connection. He and Nikolai Volkoff eventually got paired with Slick instead of Classy Freddie Blassie, and they continued tag teaming until he and Hacksaw Jim Duggan got in trouble. They're pulled over by the police. They had marijuana, and you know the Sheik might have been high on cocaine.
Sue me.
Yeah. But don't worry, he did manage to come back to the WWF. It was short-lived, and then he started making appearances for the NWA. He attacked Ricky Steamboat. He feuded with Sting. He fought with Ron Simmons. He fought with the Junkyard Dog. So even though he'd been wrestling for many years, he still was a headliner in WCW. He might not have been Hulk Hogan status, but he was still a name WCW could bring in. He did have another year-long return to the WWF, but not as the Iron Sheik. If anyone's played the WWE 2K games where it's got Sergeant Slaughter and General Adnan and Colonel Mustafa, he was Colonel Mustafa. If you're wondering why he looks like the Iron Sheik, yeah, that's why. I still don't understand why he couldn't have been the Iron Sheik. I know that Slaughter was an Iraqi sympathizer, but I don't think fans really would have known the difference, to be honest, between Iraq and Iran at that time.
I don't think they do today.
Yeah. he that did drop into a lower mid-card position. But during this time, I mean, he was involved in the big match where Warrior got fired after because he held Vince McMahon up for money. You know, this would kind of be his last tour of the company, like a main one, until he came back as a manager in 1996. You've seen him and Bob Backlund manage the Sultan, who The Rock defeated at WrestleMania. That's where Rocky Johnson slammed the Iron Sheik. He also co-managed Tiger Ali Singh, but he said that he was released because he failed another medicine test.
A medicine test?
The medicine, that's how he worded it, a medicine test.
Okay.
He was at WrestleMania 17, we did mention it. He won the gimmick Battle Royal. And instead of being booed for winning, which was the plan so his Slaughter could come in and attack him and put him in the Cobra Clutch as he did, he got cheered because he received a cult following. He was then inducted into the Hall of Fame for WrestleMania 21. That was that stacked Hall of Fame class, if you remember. Of course, yeah. The Iron Sheik was in it, but then you also had, find it, Hulk Hogan, Roddy Piper, Cowboy Bob Orton, Jimmy Hart, Paul Orndorff, Nikolai Volkoff. I mean, it was kind of the WrestleMania class, really. The Iron Sheik always talked about in interviews how it was like one of the proudest moments of his life. After this, he would make sporadic appearances. He usually kind of brought out, I know the one time they teased a WrestleMania 1 rematch, and then they got, something happened where the match didn't happen. But I think what most fans would know Iron Sheik for is his interviews and his Twitter. I mean, he didn't run, sorry to spoil this for people, he didn't actually run his Twitter. But they talked like he did. You know, a lot of fucks, a lot of bubba, a lot of break your back, make you humble. It was funny, after he passed, Ken Jeong, the actor, tweeted out that the Iron Sheik, he checked on it when COVID happened. And apparently checked on a lot of other people. The big thing he would always do, say if someone passed away, he'd be like, "I respect you so much, insert name here, unlike that Hulk Hogan bastard," or something along those lines. It was funny, I was telling you this beforehand. There's a video circulating of Hulk Hogan on Howard Stern, and Iron Sheik was on the radio.
Yeah.
On the phone with him. And Hogan was like, yeah, you know, he lives the gimmick. He'll say, fuck you, I'll break your back. And then we'll hug, we're friends. And then Iron Sheik went on this, like, 5-minute rant, and you can see Hogan rolling his eyes and saying, yep, all right. Oh, Sheik, you know, you're worse than this wrestler. I can't believe you'd come at me with that. I'll beat you again. You were only the main event once. And then Sheik goes on this rant, and then at the end, but I won't do it because I respect you, Bubba. That's, yep, I respect you too, Sheik. And I love you, Hulk. Oh, yep, love you too, Sheik. It just, I'm sure he would have been great to drink with. I'm sure he'd have been great to meet at a convention. He also has a documentary on Netflix. I don't know if you remember watching this or freshman year of college.
Vaguely. I have other concerns freshman year of college.
It had probably, to me, one of the saddest moments in any wrestling documentary, and I know the Jake Roberts one is out there, and I know Hulk Hogan did the one on A&E where he talked about killing himself. But in this, Iron Sheik's eldest daughter was actually murdered by her boyfriend. And that was the first time that he had went to her grave since it happened. And, you know, he put the flowers down, said some words, and kind of just walked off. He didn't, you know, draw it out as some might. You know, he just talked about how it was bad that it happened, but this documentary is a good time to kind of close that.
The documentary, it's called The Sheik, came out in 2014. That's our freshman year. You can watch it for free on Tubi or Pluto TV.
Okay.
It's also on YouTube for $2.99. They did take it off Netflix, though. So.
But as I said, you know, former WWF champion, former WWF tag team champion, one belt away from being that triple crown. He's actually voted by the Wrestling Observer Newsletter in 1980 as the most underrated wrestler. He won multiple tag titles and television titles throughout the NWA promotions. He was actually the Mid-Atlantic Heavyweight Champion, which was Jim Crockett Promotions heavyweight title for a time. And, I mean, nothing else more you can say about the Sheik. Twitter is definitely going to be missed. Or Twitter's definitely going to miss him.
Yeah.
And it's like I said, it's weird because we had just talked about with the Billy Graham one at, you know, the original WWF champions. And I always count that as the ones before Hogan because that's when it took off. They've become a few and far between. And now at this point, I realized Bob Backlund's all that's left. And when you think of villains in that era, I can't really... I mean, Jimmy Hart, to an extent. Nikolai's gone. Bundy's gone. Andre's gone. Piper, Orndorff. I mean, you still got Bob Orton, but he wasn't one of the main eventers. He was kind of just with the other guys. It's just, it's slowly becoming an end of an era. The Iron Sheik one was kind of, it was out of left field. I mean, Billy Graham, people kind of prepared for, they knew it was happening. But like I said, you just kind of told me that it happened. Not much more to say about him besides a legitimate badass. He's one of those that proved that he could be a pro wrestler and still kick someone's ass. I mean, he was the assistant coach for the U.S. team at the 1972 Olympic Games as well.
You want to know who broke the news to me?
Who?
My own mother.
Oh!
Yeah. She tagged me something on Facebook, and I happened to see a notification pop up, and I clicked on it, and it was like a news article. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, this has, like, is this real? So I literally just went and went right to Twitter, and I think I saw, then, like, the Iron Sheik's Twitter put that statement up. I was like,
yep.
Must be true. Then I messaged you. I was like, Logan.
Yeah, outpouring. This is one of those situations where you can tell the character didn't match the real life because, you know, nothing but positive things said about him. Even from someone like Hogan, who the Iron Sheik Twitter account just tore him apart. But nothing but positive things to say about Iron Sheik. Yeah, he did mess up a couple times because it was a medicine test. But haven't we all?
We've all taken a little medicine here and there.
Yeah.
We've all got pulled over with cocaine on us.
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, Olympian, Olympic coach, WWF champion. What else do you need, Bubba? But wherever his spirit may be, hopefully he's still breaking backs, breaking necks, and making people humble. But there's certainly, and I say this on a lot of them, but this one is 100% true. There will never be a character or man like the Iron Sheik again.
Macho Man Randy Savage is on the phone.
Fuck the Macho Man Savage! Let him talk!
Macho.
You jabroni, yeah. The reason why your wife don't fuck you is because she wants a real man like the Macho Man Randy Savage.
Fuck you and fuck your wife. I have a tenant's card. I jump with your fucking. I have fucking your ass. I want to show you my fucking tenant's card. Do you get message? Fuck you, Randy Savage. I'm embarrassed, Robin is here. So I don't have to show you my tenant's card. To fuck your fucking ass. You are not good, jabroni Jew, son of a bitch. Fuck you, Randy Savage.
All right. Well, Randy, the Sheik was unbuttoning his pants to show you his penis.
Challenge, Kong, I want to show that son of a bitch. I can fuck your sister. I can fuck your mother, your father, your brother, all your fucking family with my challenge, Kong.
He's riding the camel.
All right, thank you, Macho Man. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you make me mad. You cheap Jew son of a bitch.